were amazing. They were really amazing people. I mean, if you ever were in one of these kirtans with Radhanath Maharaj and Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj, you would really be shouting. I mean, you would be jumping. I mean, to tell you the truth, it was like you couldn't really stop. You couldn't really stop dancing. Why? I mean, we're not pure devotees or anything. But it's like, as Prabhupada said, you know, here it says, translators here of the 11th canto, they are saying that it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada has commented, these symptoms are very prominently manifest in the body of a pure devotee. Sometimes when our students of the Krishna Consciousness Movement chant and dance, even in India, people are astonished to see how these foreigners have learned to chant and dance in this ecstatic fashion. And Prabhupada never stopped anyone from feeling these symptoms. He said, no, we have to enjoy somehow, and this is our enjoyment. Our enjoyment is kirtan. And it's so fascinating that with just some kartal, some little nothing, just a very small pair of bells and a drum, you can actually chant, you can dance. It moves you to that state of dancing and chanting, which can be taken to the extreme, of course, if you have great kirtan leaders like Radhanath Maharaj. I mean, he was like very expert at chanting. And Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj, she was very expert at dancing. He was like a great dancer. And I mean, I can just close my eyes and see Bhakti Thirtha Maharaj using his danda as a way to jump even higher. he would seem like he was about to touch the ceiling. He was just like a madman chanting and dancing and singing. It was like incredible. And I remember one of the kirtans, I was dancing with Maharaj, and I got to a point where, we finished the kirtan, we offered our obeisances, and I couldn't stand up. I just couldn't. I was just completely, I was like in a state of cathartic state, so to speak, which is what this verse is describing. Well, I didn't even know what it was. So I was in this state of cathartic state. I couldn't even blink. My eyes were like completely open. And so the pajaris and the devotees were very concerned about me, and they took me to the pajari room and said, well, what's going on with him? So, and Maharaj, he was very concerned too. He came with me, and he said, they asked him, Maharaj, well, what's going on with Mahesh? What's happening with him? He said, oh, don't worry, he'll be fine. He just went through a kirtan jagya. It's a jagya. He's purifying himself, basically, he said. Yeah, and after a few minutes, I just got out of that state of consciousness, whatever it was. But I was like very hypnotic, very amazing trance that these devotees transported me to. So, and I'm sure that most of you folks that are here in this temple room today, you have had some kind of moments like that in your Krishna consciousness where you felt really close to Krishna, and by the mercy of the name. Now, you got to understand here that what Prabhupada has given us in the form of the name of God, which comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu installed the name, the deity of the name, in our heart, basically. So what happened is that the name is very powerful. It's all-powerful, all-powerful. It's like there is that story about when they were about to perform a play of Ajamil in the temple room in Los Angeles, and the actor cried, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And Prabhupada said, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan? No, he only said Narayan once. You only need to say the name of God in a pure state of mind once to become liberated. That's what Prabhupada said. The name of God is very powerful. And this, maybe it is the difference between Srila Prabhupada's teachings and other gurus' teachings. We're not against other gurus. They're fine. They're nice. I actually appreciate some of the teachings of other traditions, and even within the Vaishnava Sampradaya, they're very nice. You can appreciate that. No, we don't have to be against anybody or create enemies here. We are friends to everyone. But Prabhupada had an angle of vision. And once you read his his teachings and his books, then you understand that this is an angle of vision. Like one time we were having a program. We used to do programs every Sunday when we were in Hawaii. We had our own Sunday feast. And we invited different people and we had kirtan. Well, one time we had a guest, Bodayan Swami Maharaj. He is the head of the Gaudiya Math. And he was in town. He's actually a good friend. He's a very nice devotee. We invited him to come and speak, and he spoke. And then afterwards, we were having dinner. And during the dinner, I was sitting with him and said, Maharaj, you know, very interesting what you said in the lecture, but you know, your teachings are not really Srila Prabhupada's teachings. There is a difference here. And Bodayan Maharaj smiled, and he looked at me. He said, yes, you're right, because I'm a disciple of Puri Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada's teachings are a little bit different. The approach is different because Srila Prabhupada, he said, had 100% faith in Harinam. Now, let that sink a little bit in your hearts for a second. So Prabhupada, this is the main, most important point in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He had 100% faith that the name of God was God, that the name of God is God. So if you sing, if you chant the name of Krishna just once, not three times, 20, a million times, well, if you can chant 16 rounds, that's great, because you get, because the name is the way we connect with Krishna, so why chant it only once? You can just keep chanting it. You don't have to stop. Just keep chanting. But if you sing it just once, you become liberated. That's Prabhupada's teachings. Because the name of God is all-powerful. It's like my son-in-law, Ghanasham, once was chanting the names. And he told me the story that he was not really too into it and he was trying to do his japa, but he was not really catching on. And Radhanath Maharaj was in the temple room with him at the Bhakti Center and came to him and said, Ghanasham, you got to focus because if you really grasp what the name is, you would be jumping for joy. If you really understand that Krishna and Krishna's name are the same, and the Supreme Lord is everywhere, is everything, is Vishnu, is everything is outside, is inside, is everything that you see, wherever you look is Krishna. When you get to that realization that you are part of that Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, that you are one with Him in love, in a loving relationship, then you couldn't stop chanting or singing. It's very beautiful. And so, however, if you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, all the photographs and videos and films that are of him, you don't see him like a deranged person or a crazy person that is, you know, mad or hitting his head against the floor or whatever. No, everything he did was very measured. And we see perhaps the most ecstatic, one of the most ecstatic, actually all the photos of Srila Prabhupada are ecstatic, really, if you think about it. He was such a great personality. He was effulgent. He was amazing. So everything is ecstatic about him. But one of the most ecstatic, I would say, photos of him or videos are from the San Francisco Ratha Yatra in 1975, when he's lifting his arms and he's jumping up and down on the stage. But that's as far as you can get from Srila Prabhupada in a state of exuberance, so to speak. Because Srila Prabhupada was very dignified. He had dignity, in a lot of dignity. Dignity, dignity, dignity. This is very, very important. And he was very dignified. When you are a preacher of Krishna consciousness and you want people to kind of empathize with you, you have to act in such a way that people empathize with your teachings and the way you live and the way you act. So if we act here and we start dancing and jumping, like the verse is saying here, not caring for outsiders, become agitated and chant like a madman, if we actually did that, then, you know, like right now, there is a few of you here in this temple room, there is a few people, but, you know, this this lecture and as well as the kirtan, previous kirtan, is being broadcast through about maybe 20 different television cameras around here in this temple. So I personally watch this regularly every morning on the television screen, this morning program. There is going to be probably close to 2,000 people that will watch any one of these programs between Facebook and YouTube and the radio station and so on. So this is being broadcasted right now. So what happens when it's being broadcasted is there is going to be a lot of outsiders or a lot of people that may not understand what you are trying to do here. And if you are acting like a madman, then they are not going to understand. You are not going to empathize with them. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, was very much aware of that. Very much aware that when he was in public, when he was in front of cameras or in front of a microphone, whatever he did was very measured because he wanted people to empathize with the most important thing, with his books, with his teachings. And now we come to like the last class by Srila Prabhupada on Sunday that was presented by Karnapurna Prabhu, which was Prabhupada said, well, once you reach the stage of human existence, the difference between the man and the animal or the humans and the non-humans is that we can read the Vedas and study them and understand the Vedas and incorporate them. Because if we, there is a philosophy, there is a teaching, there is an ideology behind all this chanting and everything that we are expressing about here. And is expressing the Vedas. And there is also a scientific knowledge and understanding of what we are talking about. Even the scientists are getting to the point to understand that the bottom line, that the ultimate principle or the ultimate ingredient of matter is vibration. Vibration, which is frequency or sound. And that's what the Vedas say, is the whole world is created by sound. By vibration. So where does that vibration come from? Where does the music come from? Well, you can create that you can believe that the world was created by some big bang, or you can believe that the world was created by beautiful music. And what we know and what the Vedas are teaching us is that the world is created by the beautiful music that comes from Krishna's flute. Ultimately, we got to understand that that is the origin of everything. It's the music that Krishna plays on his flute that translates into the, goes into the ear of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma just kind of speaks the Vedas or brings that music into action, into the creation of the world. So ultimately comes from that music, that beautiful music that comes from Krishna. So, again, it's very, we can discuss these topics for a long time, but for the sake of time and to understand more what we are trying to do, I'd like to read just a couple more paragraphs here from the book. It says, following, that as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, actually, this is not due to practice, for without extra endeavor, these symptoms become manifest in anyone who sincerely chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has warned us in this regard about the ungodly sahajas who imitate the pastimes of the Supreme Lord in an unauthorized way, neglecting the standard injunctions of Vedic scriptures, foolishly trying to take the position of Krishna as Purushottama, and thus making a cheap farce of the exalted pastimes of the Lord. Their so-called ecstatic symptoms like crying, shivering, and falling on the ground are not to be confused with the advanced features of devotional service described by Sridhar Swami as Samprapta Prema Lakshana Bhakti Yoga. Srila Prabhupada comments in this regard, one who has attained this bhava stage is no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. This is very heavy, if you think about it. Once you get to that stage of bhava, of prema, of connection with God, you are no longer under the clutches of the illusory energy. And that's why we are here in this material world. So, a very important thing is that the fan is slowing down, but the most important thing is that you don't flip the switch again back on. Don't get any more electricity, otherwise the fan will start moving back up and faster and faster and faster, and so we'll have to spend another few more lifetimes in this planet. If you flip the switch up again, then you're done. You have to be here a few more lifetimes. Except that because you already chanted the names of God, yes, it may take you another 10 lifetimes or 100 lifetimes, but if you think about it, that's not very much. Even 1,000 lifetimes. I mean, as we were studying in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, at the end, Lord Brahma recreates the universe again after the dissolution of the universe, and Vishnu brings the universe back, all the universes back on again from his body. Lord Brahma creates it exactly as it was from the previous kalpa. In other words, the universe is going to be created again. So we have been here for millions and millions of lifetimes. We have been here for a long, long time already. So if you only have one lifetime to go, that's great. I mean, that would be fantastic. We're out of here. If you're going to be here 10 more lifetimes, that's still not very much, or 1,000 lifetimes. But what Srila Prabhupada keeps saying is that don't wait for the next lifetime. Just get out of here right now. Right now, really. You don't wait. Don't wait. No need to wait. I was just listening to a lecture. I couldn't really listen to it too much. It's like, whoa, this guy is like not there yet. And he was talking about one of the teachings from Ram Dass, where he was saying, well, you know, once you become a little bit more elevated in God consciousness, and it's like looking from a bridge and you're looking to the turbulent waters out there, you say, wow, the turbulent waters of the material world are very, very dangerous and difficult, but I'm here already on the bridge. Well, the thing is that we shouldn't become too enamored with these waves that are out there. We don't even look at them too much. You just keep moving. Because the illusory energy is very, very powerful. You don't even know the power of this Maya, which is very, very strong, and it creates very strong attachment. So just try to get out of here. It's just not worth it. It's like Bhaktacharya Swami said, if you see Maya from a distance, just close the door gently and quickly. Don't even think, oh, is that Maya? Oh, that looks pretty. No, don't even think about it. You see, Maya is out there, just close it. Just don't worry about it. You don't need it. You don't want it, you don't need it. It's not your, don't waste your time with it. So, we have to get to that point of understanding of God consciousness. And the more you enjoy the kirtan, the better. The more you are into the chanting of the names and get into that state of ecstatic symptoms without being like the sahajas. That's why we have to come to study the scripture, understand what is going on, and become much deeper into our realizations. Because there are, as we have discussed before, there are those three stages described in the Shikshastakam prayer. The first one is the glorification of the Sankirtan movement and the holy name. The second really is the repentance or the understanding that you have not been one with God at all times. And that makes you feel repentant or make you feel pain about it. And the third one is the desire, the prayer. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, please help me to get to this stage of bhava, of prema, of just chanting your holy names, of crying, and just being with you at all times. So these are the three stages of prayer. But the second one is what we gotta get to. In other words, the point of repentance. You know, and this is maybe the, argument that I have had recently online. I'm sorry, because I do like these devotees quite a bit, but there are some devotees that think, well, that Prabhupada never said that we came from the spiritual world. The whole discussion, where do we come from? Do we come from the spiritual world, or we have never gotten there and we are going to the spiritual world? Well, it was a big discussion, but you know, I discussed this with one of my shikshas here, who is very, very nice devotee and a good scholar, and that's Pushkar Prabhu. You know, I consulted with Pushkar because I'm very much, you know, I really believe or think that Prabhupada named his magazine Back to Godhead because he thought that we were in Goloka Vrindavan and now we are on our way back. By we are trying to repent from whatever disunion we have with Krishna, and we are trying to get there. So, because if there is no repentance, you know, like Pushkar was saying, well, if you don't feel bad against this disunion with God, then there is, it's like you don't feel that you were envious about it. There is no envy. You know, there is no, it's like, well, you're like a child. You never did anything wrong in your life, and you are just fine, and then you're just going, you know, you're going home. You're going home, but were you home before or not? So, but Pushkar Prabhu said, well, but Prabhupada was also a salesperson. You know, he was in Gaudiya Godrume. This is the market of the holy names. So sometimes he's saying, yes, we are going back to Godhead. We were there before. And other times said, well, you know, just don't worry too much about it. Just chant the holy names now. Whatever works, just chant the holy names so you can get there anyway. So that's Prabhupada. But in one sense, the point that we are going back to Godhead, in other words, that we were there before and now we are on our way back, in a sense, it means that, yes, you're chanting the holy names, you realize the beauty of the Sankirtan movement, but somehow or other you become deviated, like in Gadadhar's class the other day, I think it was, the day before, it was on Thursday, Gadadhar was saying that, well, sometimes you're on a freeway, you're going back home, but then you get a refuel, or you need to go to the bathroom, or you need to go and have something to eat, and you take a detour from your journey. That's what he was saying. That sometimes you have to get out of the freeway to get out of it. But in a sense, nowadays, with the new cars where we don't even need to refuel, maybe you don't need to refuel or need to get out. It's kind of dangerous if you take a break from the journey back home, back to Godhead. You don't want to do that. You want to stay focused, you know, 24 hours really on chanting. That's the beauty of the Maha Mantra, the beauty of chanting the names. This is an amazing tool, amazing technique, that you are chanting the names with your japa, and anytime you can go back home. But back home means that you actually realize the beauty of the Sankirtan movement and realize that you have actually not been with Krishna. You have desire to be away from Krishna. And so because you have desire to be away from Krishna, then automatically the illusory energy comes in and you develop attachments to the material world, to Prakriti and to the persona that you are impersonating. So very, very dangerous in one sense. Better to just stay always chanting, always remembering Krishna, never forget Krishna. So that's the most important instruction. Always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. So anyway, we're going to stop here right now. If there are any questions or comments, then we can proceed with the class. Any questions?
I can fill time, man. Anybody else want to go forward?
Thank you, Mahesh.
Whoa. Hari Bol.
Got a lot of juice in this mic.
That's good.
I was just reflecting on the fan analogy. And I know in my personal experience, that fan just keeps turning. You know, it's been unplugged through the process of commitment, taking initiation, taking up the process, but somehow or other, due to the force of habits, due to the force of curiosities, bad association, that fan get plugged in occasionally, you know. And I don't know, I guess I'm just reflecting on it and sharing, you know, the process that at least I go through. And, you know, and then as Arjuna says that, you know, why is one still impelled to sin even though unwillingly? Right. So that's like, I mean, if Arjuna is saying that, you know, what to speak of me? And then there's the whole scientific explanation that Krishna is giving, specifically in regards to lust, where it's situated, how to overcome.
Yeah, this is the main point, is that you don't want to turn that flip
fan back on.
You don't want to flip the switch and
plug
get
it
more
in.
Electricity, that's right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to read just from that purport that we were reading earlier from the 11th canto, chapter 2, text 40. It says here that Srila Jiva Goswami has emphasized Jani Shastra Dwaratsat Parampara Dwara Chaloki Gitani Jamani Karmani Cha Tani Srinvan Gayamscha. If one wants to be successful in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, one must adopt the process as it is coming down in the Sat Parampara, the transcendental disciplic succession. In this case, we are following Srila Prabhupada. And what did Prabhupada say? He actually created a system by which you can always come back home, back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. You can always come back and stay there. And the system is really, it is a system of checks and balances called Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That is, one must accept a bona fide spiritual master. One must in turn be confirmed by the opinion of great saintly persons and reveal scriptures. If one accepts the bona fide spiritual master, follows the example of great saintly persons, and becomes conversant with authorized literature such as Bhagavad Gita, Siddhis, and Srimad Bhagavatam, one's program of chanting the holy names of the Lord and hearing about the Lord's pastimes will be completely successful. Completely successful, not just a little bit. It's completely. So Prabhupada, you know, I had this little book that I traveled with for maybe a couple of years. Whatever I went, I had this small little book called It's a Journey to Other Planets by Prabhupada. That was like my Bible. Whenever I had something to read or I had any time to read, that was the book. It was with me 24 hours a day. And in that book, that little book, he says that there is five most important principles in order to always stay in Krishna consciousness. The first, number one, is to accept the spiritual master. Second, render service unto him. Three, number three, is please the spiritual master. That starts like that. And then he mentions the association of devotees, the chanting of the names, living near a sacred holy place, and or have deities in your house so you can worship the deity yourself directly. So those are principles that Prabhupada mentioned, that if you follow them, then even though, of course, the Maya may still be coming, but because of the association with the devotees, and association with devotees is not just, well, hi Prabhu, how are you today? Oh, that's fine, nice prasham, I'll see you later. It's more like checking in. You know, you need to develop association with devotees so that you can actually reveal your mind. It was very interesting that last Monday, Brihan Devi, my wife, was invited to play the harp for a program at the Holy Faith Catholic Church, you know, the big church out there on Northwest 43rd. And she was playing the harp while people were having confessions. You know, the Catholics kind of realized that a confession, what is a confession after all? Anyway, it's a person revealing your mind to a person that is supposed to be a priest. But that is what the association of devotees is. You got to develop association of devotees to a point where you can reveal your mind, which is one of the symptoms of love, right? Mm-hmm. Revealing your, you know, the six symptoms of loving relationships. One of them is revealing your mind in confidence to another devotee. In other words, when you reveal your mind, well, now you become vulnerable because you are revealing your mind. But the other devotee that is listening, if he's a friend, he's a very nice devotee, he's an advanced devotee, or even if he's a guru, that's what gurus are supposed to be in one sense, they are listening to your misgivings, your, let's say, the things that you did that are not in Krishna consciousness, that they are not in line, in other words, that you sinned or that you went away from the teachings or you deviated from the four regulative principles and so on. And the fact is that the guru doesn't even need to say anything, or the other body doesn't have to, but the fact that somebody is listening to you and you are saying, well, I did these things, how can I avoid it next time? So the act of confession, or that's what confession is that you have association with devotees and that you have a relationship that you can reveal your mind to. Because if you cannot reveal your mind to, then you are stuck, right? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I was also thinking, that in regards to, being up to par, like on the standards, and there's a deviation, a lot of times the greater problem is not the deviation, it's that obsession with the guilt and the shame and it's really an indication of pride. Well, of course, Prabhu, what do you expect? We have our humanity to deal with, and unless we really come to the stage of full purification, there may be a lot of wreckage on the highway.
Yes.
But a lot of wreckage on the highway.
Association with devotees, and especially that's why it's very important in our movement. I mean, this is a difficult thing, but if, of course, you can go the guru route, which was Bhaktivedanta Swami's point, where, because if you are in association with devotees and devotees that are advanced, and I'm telling you, in this society here, in this temple, there are very nice devotees here that you can reveal your mind to. Very, very, very wonderful people, have great teachings and knowledge and understanding. The thing is that these devotees that have surrendered their lives to the teachings of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was not an ordinary person. He was not just someone that had some knowledge or information, or he was not just some intellectual. He was effulgent. He was effulgent. He came from the spiritual world. In other words, that the devotees that connected with that energy, because this is the other energy, they have a certain power, mercy. It's called mercy. It's a power of mercy. That when you are revealing your mind to these devotees, then you can realize, well, that doesn't feel good. I'm not going to do that again. So the next time it happens, you see the Maya from a distance, just close the door gently, like Bhakti Chara Swami said. You don't need to watch the Maya. It's just, okay, I'll see you later. I don't need this. You know what I mean? But you have to get it yourself. Nobody's going to drive your car. You got to drive it yourself. But you can learn how to drive the car. You can go from point A to point B, and, there are rules of the road. And so when you are talking with other devotees in association of devotees, then you are learning the rules. Why? Because if you don't follow the rules, you can have an accident, and you can have some pain along the way. And you don't like pain. You don't want pain. Pain is not a good thing. We don't want pain. We are not sadomasochists here. We are not into pain. But the fact is that pain is going to come. If you don't follow the rules, that's what happens. That's what it is. Hey, you have an accident, or you went faster than you thought, or you got too close to the other vehicle. Hey, now there are accidents where you may not be aware of. Like the other day, I was turning right. The other guy was also turning right, but stopped just when I was turning. Whoa, wait a second. The guy stopped running from me. I was very quick at pushing on the brakes, and I didn't have an accident, but I could see I could have an accident just like that. So in other words, there are accidents on the road, but if you follow certain procedures, you can avoid those accidents. Like I was discussing this with a friend of mine who is a police officer, and she was saying, well, just keep your distance from the other vehicle, then you won't have this fender bender type of things. Just keep your distance. And that's probably what saved me the other day, because I was far enough from the other vehicle that whenever the other vehicle stopped, I was able to stop on time because I was far enough. In other words, you learn these things by following certain rules that are traffic rules, kind of. So when you are speaking with a devotee that and revealing your mind in confidence. Now you are really revealing your mind in confidence so that you can get ahead, you can learn from the experience. And so that act of repentance is an act of repentance to understand you don't want to do that again. And so if the Maya is coming, you see it from a distance, you avoid it. You avoid it by, hey, come to the temple. Program starts here at 4 in the morning. Sometimes I turn on the television, the TV at 4 in the morning. I see the devotees chanting here before Mongol Arctic. So, hey, that's what Mongol Arctic is for. That's what greeting of the deities is for, Bhagavatam class. All of these programs that Prabhupada started are so that we enter into a program so that we stay away from the Maya, because as soon as you are here, you are not in Maya. I mean, you know, we are not drinking or we are not doing any kind of illicit activity, you know. That's the way it is. But I'm sorry, I'm elaborating a little too far. Did I answer
you? I just think it's just something like, I don't know, I've been in the movement for decades, and I've witnessed, both in my own life and in the lives of others, that a lot of times when it comes to following the guidelines, and this is a very good point, by the way, you know, when you say, well, we don't follow the guidelines. If you see a sign on the road and it's a curve, you don't say, oh, the government's like, here they are, they're on our case again, you know, they're putting up signs. No, if you don't follow the sign, you're going to go off the cliff. And so, yeah, there's a deviation, there's going to be a reaction, there's going to be some pain. But what happens sometimes is what's more painful than the accident itself is the judgments that surround it around it.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And, you know, and it becomes like, it almost like defeats the purpose of going through the process of purification. And then, so then there's a whole stack of judgment that revolves. And then next thing you know, the person who's victim to the accident becomes overridden with guilt, and to pacify that guilt, commits the accident, you know, has an accident again because, you know.
Right, you didn't learn the lesson properly.
Yeah.
Yes, so well, this is why the injunction is to reveal your mind in confidence,
yeah.
In confidence. And that's why, in a sense, in the temple room, we have to measure our words, and we have to measure the way we operate and dance, or it's like to a certain point you can only go so far in the temple room because there are 20 cameras watching us anyway. So I think the point of revealing your mind in confidence to another devotee, and the other devotee is just listening to you without judgment, because after all, if the person is coming to you or you are coming to them to reveal your mind, it should be in confidence, not like you are going to broadcast, well, you know what so-and-so did, or, you know. No, that's not. You got to go to a person. And that is the nature of being a guru. Of course, being a guru is a very difficult position, because now you are listening to all these people telling you all these things that they are, and then you are taking some of their karma. It's like, whoa, who would want to do that, right? But it is very necessary. But again, you cannot choose to be a guru. Cannot. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to be a guru. No, that doesn't work. Krishna has to say, I want you to do this service for me. So usually the spiritual master may drive you in that direction, but I don't know. That's a mystery. That I cannot get into it right now. Any other questions? Yeah.
Thank you for the very nice class. I just was wondering, when a person is in a prema or bhava, and they're feeling those type of the feelings of madness that you were describing, is it something that they can control, or should they try to control it?
Well, depends if you are by yourself or you are in public. In a sense, if you are in public, you shouldn't try to show these symptoms in public, because it says here, although we are not caring for outsiders, in a sense, we got to follow the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and following his footsteps. And Prabhupada, he was always very measured when he was in public. But we don't know when he was on his own what he was doing. He was basically... Now, he was translating the books, right? We know that he was doing that. Or he was doing his own japa. Now, to get to this point where you chant just like a madman doesn't only refer to kirtan, although kirtan is the easiest way to get to this point of being a madman, really. I mean, kirtan is really a powerful thing because there is other people chanting and you're chanting with drums and there is all these cartels. And I mean, I've been in Ratha Yatra parades where it was powerful, all these devotees, or Harinam. I mean, I've been in Harinam. I love Harinam. I mean, I used to go on Harinam every day when I first joined there. And the devotees that I used to go with in Harinam, they were powerful devotees. I mean, Hamsa Dutta, I mean, if you were wearing a kirtan with Hamsa Dutta, he was powerful. And some of the other devotees, like Titiksheva Karunika, and they were like incredible drummers. The other day, you know, like when Bishambhar from the Mayapuris comes, every time this devotee sings, it's like, wow, it makes me dance. And he can, just playing on his drum makes me dance. It's amazing. So you can do these things, but you don't really need to go to this point of kirtan to get into this feeling of madness. You can even be chanting on your rounds. You can just be thinking about some of the teachings that Prabhupada gave you, and maybe tears come to your eyes because just thinking about the beauty, the immensity of the mercy, just thinking about the mercy that Prabhupada gave us just will make you cry. If you think about it, and you can just be in your house. You don't have to be in front of people. In fact, I had some feelings like that once. I was in a temple, and I said, oh, my God, this is not good. I'm in front of people. I should get out of here. You know, it's like, you know, I don't feel like showing myself like that. Because most devotees that are here today, you probably got to this point at some point. You must have felt some realization. And Prabhupada has come to you, or you must have thought about the holy name in such a way that make you cry, you know, brought tears to your eyes just thinking about the beauty and the mercy that was given to you. You probably felt that way, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Who would want to be here if you didn't have some experience? That's the experience of Krishna consciousness. And we are devotees, we are Hare Krishna devotees, so we must have had some kind of experience like that. It's just that what Devananda Prabhu was saying there is that fan is still moving, which is what Ganesham Prabhu was saying in a class. I said, well, there is the anarthas that are still populating our minds, and you know they have to manifest somehow. They have to come out, and they have to be dealt with, and those anarthas create pain, and then you learn from that pain, and then you don't want to do it again. But the system really is what Prabhupada is mentioning here, which is guru, sadhu, shastra. You know, you got to understand what's going on to you by studying the books, and also by following a guru or the teachings of a guru and association with devotees. And if you do that, then you'll go through this process of Krishna consciousness and you become eventually liberated yourself, because that's what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted us to become liberated. He came here to do something. That was to give us Krishna consciousness. And that is going back home, back to Godhead, by just getting rid of our material desires and become attached to Krishna. That's what he wanted us to do. Anyway, I'm sorry I'm speaking a little too much here. Maybe I'd like to open the floor.
You know, on your, you spoke about whether our relationship with Krishna, whether we had fallen down from the spiritual world, and you gave the evidence of back to Godhead. Also, a couple of phrases that we find repeatedly in Srila Prabhupada's books and lectures are things like, we have forgotten our eternal relationship with Krishna. And another one that's very common is reviving our eternal relationship with Krishna. These phrases also suggest very strongly that there has been a relationship and we have forgotten it and we are reviving it. One other thing real quickly, you know, because you mentioned Bhakti Tirtha Swami's kirtans. I had the good fortune to be able to participate in several of those kirtans in New Vrindavan back in the 80s, and they were ecstatic. I mean, he was one of the most ecstatic kirtan leaders. Of course, there's so many, like you've mentioned some, but he was very, very ecstatic. Anyway, last week I was searching to try to find some of his kirtans online, and everything on YouTube was Bhakti Tirtha's last kirtan, like that. But finally I found it. Someone told me, look on BT Swami Vault on YouTube. BT Swami Vault. And sure enough, there were some of those kirtans that he had done with Radhanath Swami and others, Sachinandana Swami, earlier when he was in good health. And Prabhu's, go check them out. This was, just even watching them online is just incredibly, incredibly blissful. BT Swami Vault on YouTube, and you'll find some really nice ones there.
Yeah, well,
Hare Krishna.
And Maharaj, not just his kirtan, but whenever he spoke or gave class or... He was a very effulgent personality. He was actually effulgent. He was very, very special devotee. And if you had the great fortune to be in one of his kirtans, you know, that poof. Yeah, you are on your way home. Very special. All right. Anybody else? Any other comments? Hare Krishna. Wow. Okay. Well, it's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Haribol. Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.